Well, it's going to be quite a year for sport. The Commonwealth Games are around once again, and this time they're in the sunny climes of Australia. And one of those visually impaired athletes who will be travelling is Erica Kelly from the Isle of Man. Now, Erica joins me to talk a little bit more about herself, about the sport, and of course, going to Australia. Erica, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello.
So tell me, first of all, a little bit about you, Erica, because you obviously love your sport, but what else takes up your time?
So I'm a psychology and counselling degree student, and I also play the harp.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about the studies, first of all, then, because that sounds very in-depth.
Yeah, it's very intense. So I'm doing it part-time because I've been working for the local Isle of Man government to fund my studies. So I'm doing it across 6 years. I'm in my fourth year currently. I'm loving it. And ultimately, I want to go into clinical psychology work. But yeah, it's extremely difficult and really hardworking. But as long as I enjoy it.
Absolutely. And you've obviously got your goals set there in terms of, you know, academically what you want to do as well. And you play the harp too. When did that begin?
I was about 7 years old. And I kind of just saw one at school. And I asked if I could have a go. And the music teacher basically said, yeah, take it home. At the time, I didn't really have sight problems, but then I've also never been able to read music, not very well, or not very quickly. So I self-taught. I play by ear.
When I think about instruments, you know, someone tells me they're into their music and playing instruments, you think, oh, is it maybe like a guitar or a keyboard, something quite portable, but a harp.
Yeah, it's not the most portable, but as long as you've got like a good little crew behind you, yeah, it works.
Now, we are going to be chatting to you a lot about sport, because, you know, as well as the studies, the work and playing the harp, I'm surprised you have time for anything else. But tell me about that, because it's race walking.
It kind of came into place about 3 years ago. I was a runner. I was doing long distance running, but not competitively, just doing it because I loved keeping fit and couldn't sit still. And I turned up to a session one evening, thinking it was going to be a running session doing speed work, and I got there and it turned out to be a race walking session. I had tried race walking about a year earlier, but I didn't enjoy it. I found it really it's really difficult and very technical, and I just thought, no, this isn't for me. But basically I ended up staying for this session that I turned up to by mistake, and the coach basically, he was like, you really need to consider a career change in your sport. This is coming quite naturally to you. So I stuck at it and I've been doing it ever since.
It sounds like it wasn't a bad mistake, really, at the end of the
no.
day. You say it's quite technical. How does it work? I mean, you say race and walk, you know, they're kind of almost opposites, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just as challenging, and like it gets your heart rate up just like endurance running does. But you've got rules to stick to. So every time you're front foot strikes the ground, you must be striking onto your heel, and you must be locking your knee out, and basically an infringement of them, you'll either be warned if you look like you're on the verge of breaking those rules with a yellow paddle, and if you're completely breaking them, you can get disqualified. So during all races, you're constantly thinking about trying to just be mindful about what you're doing. Yeah. It's hard.
You think about running, you watch athletes on the TV sprinting, you know, they're just going for it, you know, it's the longest strides, the fastest strides, pumping the arms, but it almost sounds as if you're constantly working on your steps, you're analysing yourself almost every step. Is it mentally tiring?
It can be, like if you're constantly giving warnings to like be mindful of what you're doing, it can definitely make you worry. But the whole point of getting those yellow warnings is to kind of draw your attention, like you're not looking too technically sound. So unless you're going to improve things, there's a high risk that you're going to get disqualified from that race. And some races are 20 kilometres and you don't really want to have gone through, I don't know, 15 kilometres of that race and then to be disqualified.
Oh no, that wouldn't be well. That wouldn't go down well, would it?
Really? No.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning that you have a sight condition as well. So you know, does that affect you seeing the paddles, or do you need any extra help when you're doing that?
Yeah, so training's pretty much fine. Usually because I know where I'm training and it tends to be quite flat and I'm just, yeah, familiar with the surroundings. But in races, with the paddles, I can see the yellow paddle in front of me, but I can't make out the symbols as to whether or not it's referring to knees or not landing correctly. That's something We can't really overcome at the moment because judges, they're not allowed to speak to you in races. So it's kind of, if I see a panel, I've just got to kind of think about both elements of the technique. And then you can basically get up to 3 red paddles, which is, you know, you're clearly breaking a rule. And you don't actually see the first 2 reds. They actually go onto something called like a naughty board. And I can't actually see anything on that at all. But if I can find like a spectator or a member of family or something who's come to a race, they're allowed to shout it to me like, you've got 1 red on the board or you've got 2. And then if you get a 3rd paddle, that's shown to you. So if I got shown it, I know that I'd be disqualified. But thankfully, it's never happened yet. So
fingers crossed it won't either. The naughty panel, I like that. So, you know, you got into the race walking then. But what about the competitive side of it? Did that come straight away, or you know, did that come a bit later?
I definitely think it came a bit later. I was just learning the technique and I was kind of just going to keep fit. I was in a relationship with a guy, still am, but he was a competitive endurance runner. And I think seeing how he ran and competed and was doing so well, I think that inspired me to like really push. And I think it was knowing that I could push to the point of being in pain in a race, that I was physically exerting myself, sort of thing. I think I had to learn to get used to feeling comfortable with being uncomfortable. So like I started in all these groups doing all the training and I would be coming last and I would be doing these races but not very competitively. And I mean, I'd be pushing myself to my limits at that time, but yeah, I'd be coming last. I'd be doing really slow times. But I just kept at it, sort of thing, and my fitness got better, and I've definitely got more competitive. And it's gone from there, really. And all I want to do now is just keep pushing and pushing.
So what awards have you picked up so far? Are there too numerous to mention?
I've picked up a few Manx records across 3K, 5K, and 20K. I think the biggest achievement for me, or the biggest achievements for me to date, were getting the Commonwealth standard and being picked to represent the Isle of Man. So that was a massive honour. And being picked to represent England. Representing England was a massive thing because it's never something I... Not that I didn't aspire to, I just didn't think I'd ever be like capable of reaching that level.
So what about preparation? The Commonwealth Games are coming up in Australia. How do you get yourself ready for something like... Again, you know, we talked about the physical exertion, but mentally it would be quite a challenge as well.
Yeah, so I'm supported by Isle of Man Sport Aid, which are amazing, and you get benefits from their services such as psychology, nutrition, physiotherapy, and you get access to the sports doctor, and it's just really helpful. So if you're having like doubts, you can go off to the psychologist and she can help you to try and rationalize the situation and help you to understand how you can cope with your nerves, like turning them more into excitement and things like that. And any niggles, my physio is amazing. And training, it's 6 days a week. And they can be like 2 to 3 times a day. And just to make sure I was going to go in to the games being like the most prepared I could be. Work agreed for me to have some time off, which has been amazing, so that I'm better rested. And it's also helped so I can like catch up with degree work because I've got assignments due when I'm in Australia. So
yeah, you say you're going to be an Australian thinking, hang on, I've got homework to do before I go out and represent my country here. I mean, that must be hugely exciting. You know, it's a Commonwealth Games. It's going to be in Australia. Do you think you'll get any time to kind of get out and about and experience the country at all?
I really hope so. So it's definitely somewhere I've always wanted to go. We've got about 10 days acclimatization to the heat before we move into the athlete's village. And then my race is like one of the first events in the first weekend. So once that's done, I'm free essentially for 12 days. I think I'll still have to keep training, but my parents are coming out to watch. So hopefully they'll take me out to exploring after my race is done.
That'll be amazing. You know, I never thought there actually, you know, we mentioned at the start, it's in Australia. So the heat, and it sounds as if, although it's race walking, you know, it does take a lot out of you. I suppose that acclimatization will be crucial.
Yeah, I've done a few like warm weather training type things, and yeah, the heat just makes everything 10 times more difficult. You've just got to try and like nail your nutrition, nail your hydration, and trying to keep cool during the race. If that means pouring like a tub of water over your head, that's what you're going to have to do, sort of thing.
Well, Erica, we do wish you all the very best with the Commonwealth Games. Let's hope it's a medal-winning performance. And thanks very much for telling us your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.